right next to me. This will be in the history books.
Thank you all so much for attending today. Time is 11:34, and I would call this meeting to order. We're going to do welcome and introductions real quick. We're going to start. We're basically going to. I think everyone in this room works in some capacity with the city, or is a part of this meeting. Brooks, why don't you start us off?
First name, executive council assistant for Jimmy Woodson. Amber Lehman, executive council assistant for Councilman Nick Allen.
Terry Carr, environmental quality division.
Jeff.
Jeff Clemens, Council Research.
Shannon McGillis, Office of General Counsel.
Jimmy Peluso, City Council District 7.
Mike Barker, Waterways Commission.
Jim Suber, Waterways Coordinator.
Excellent. We are here as a continuation of the last derelict vessel meeting or task force meeting that we had. We tasked Shannon with pretty much doing 99% of the work, so much so that we had to wait on this meeting to start until she showed up here. And now that she's here, I'm just going to pass it off to her, and she's going to explain all the great things we're going to be doing in the next year to come. I do also, again, I want to give Mr. Barker here a lot of credit. Without him, we might not be here, and without the work that you've done. So I appreciate it, sir, as well as you, Captain Suber. Shannon, take it away.
Shannon McGillis, Office General Counsel. Having been tasked by Councilmember Peluso and under the guidance of Captain Suber and Mr. Barker, I have a recommendation, and if it is the marching orders of this special committee, then I would go forward with this. There is a one-page handout entitled Chapter 388 Boats and Waterways, and it's a bit of a grid. My recommendation, faced with the problem of needing guidance on abandoned vessels, guidance on derelict vessels, some overhaul and updates to the anchoring limitation areas, procedures and enforcement, and then some tweaks to the floating structures as is. My recommendation would be to replace Chapter 388, a full overhaul, taking existing four parts and making it into five parts, five discrete units, part one being findings, legislative intent, and definitions for the entire chapter. Part two would be a discrete unit, everything that enforcement or citizens need to know about floating structures would all be contained. And likewise, part three, part four, part five would be anchoring limitation areas, abandoned vessels, and derelict vessels, respectively. That way, citizens know where to look. If it is a vessel, a boat, it should be in Boats and Waterways. My suggestion is that we look at this in three phases. Stage one would be the basics, what you have here, and then I would then fill those, writing a bill that would incorporate all of this language. The number one thing is for us to be within the guidance of the applicable Florida statutes. Phase two would be that we as a body review those suggested bills before it goes any further. So if there were add-ins that aren't in on the face of the Florida statutes but are within the scope of our permissions by the Florida statutes, it would be then that we could, as a body, discuss whether or not to have that as part of our bill. And then the stage three is once we are comfortable with what we are going to put forward, then we could discuss how to do that, the publicity of it, how to put, make it very easy, accessible to the public, including potential notice to mariners. That's what I'm suggesting under your guidance.
Excellent. I mean, If you are just seeking me to say, yeah, sure, continue forward, let's write up some legislation, then you certainly have my approval. I think you already know that. Are there any questions or concerns or conversations we want to have with Ms. McGillis regarding this matter?
Shannon, the only thing we wanted to do is just make sure that everybody's kind of in agreement on target, fees, fines, timing, and all that, so that you've got enough of your questions answered so that you can actually write and not have to keep coming back. So do you have any, I mean, I know we talked about, right now we've got 3 45-day periods. We talked about dropping that to one. And we did talk about a fee or fine structure that differs. We talked about immunity across all these phases for our LEOs,
mm-hmm.
Which really, as you pointed out, wasn't really clearly defined in here. What am I forgetting?
These are the big ones.
I think the just making sure on the enforcement procedures, they seem kind of to contradict each other, but you're going to fix that so everything flows nicely,
mm-hmm.
and so that it's easy for the officers to understand and explain. And we also talked about being able to post a vessel and not necessarily have to track somebody down. I was just talking to Captain Suber earlier today, and he said that they've got five with dead owners.
Oh, three are dead.
Three owners who are dead. It took them a while to figure out that the owners were dead, and then they're going through this pretty crazy process to try and do things. That was something that we really hadn't talked about either. So we kind of need a procedure for that. How do you want to tackle that?
Go ahead.
Through the chair, we did, you and I met several times. I value that time. As to the 3 45 periods, that is in regards to the anchoring limitation areas. Another kind of side note, one of the things that I found most frustrating, and I think it's super frustrating in our municipal code as it is that there was no really clear, this is floating structures, this is anchoring limitation, over here is abandoned, and over here is derelict, and they each have, by Florida statutes, different provisions for notice for some outlining of the procedures. And I do think that making these five distinct parts will help both agencies and officers that are enforcing this, as well as citizens, to understand what is what and what rules go with what. As to the 3 45 periods, that is actually in the Florida statute, so we would have very limited ability to alter that. But as to the fee and fine structure for violating the anchoring limitation areas, that is an area that I believe that we can legislate within, particularly as you had suggested that it should cost more to violate the law. I think an example that we had discussed was if you park on the side, if you park right in front of the library, are you going to put a quarter in or are you going to walk away? It would be cheaper to put a quarter in than to pay a $10 parking ticket. But that is not necessarily what is actually happening right now for the anchoring limitation areas because of how expensive boat slips are. It's cheaper to violate the law, and that should change. It has been the recommendation that perhaps the anchoring limitation area fees and fines would relate directly to the average by foot boat slip rental. So it would be cheaper to do the right thing and get a boat slip. So we're that is something that I do believe that would be in the first draft, kind of a jumping off point of where those fees and fines in the anchoring. As to immunity, that was a major component that I believe has been hindering agencies' ability to enforce the laws as they are currently written. It may not be apparent to the average bear, but placing a sticker upon a vessel is actually an entry. And so our agents need to be protected from with the correct statutory immunity, which is actually allowed to them through the Florida statutes that apply to these. And it just needs to be imported into the correct places in our new Chapter 388, if that is the direction we go. As to notice provisions, the Florida statutes that apply to each one of these four, I'm going to call it boat quadrants, they are each different, and those are what are going to need to be imported into our new Chapter 388, so that for each of the floating structures, anchoring, abandoned, and derelict, each have their different notice provisions, including what to do when the registered owner is known to be deceased. And the fourth item I think you brought up was the enforcement procedures. As current, abandoned vessels and derelict vessels in the municipal code have no procedures on the books. Florida statutes does have procedures, and we will be following those in the initial draft. As to the anchoring limitation areas, I believe this is an area that may have been overwritten in procedures and needs a little bit of an update and overhaul. But the guiding force will be follow the Florida statutes, but make it clear and allow the agents and officers to do what they're supposed to do with immunity when they're supposed to do it, so that we can get our waterways clear again.
Any more questions? Oh, Mr. Captain Suber.
First of all, I'd like to say this is a great, great, great piece of work for the most part. And my questions are, because I haven't had a chance to dig into it hardcore, but 615 had a lot of our docking rules and everything. Is that incorporated into this?
Yes, sir.
And the biggest, I guess, gap that we've had is we have a derelict vessel that is not derelict yet. It's at risk, or even if it's not at risk, we've had, and I'm going to give you some examples, that Arlington Boat Ramp, we had a guy that decided that was going to be his private dock for keeping his sailboat. And he was living in a truck on the parking lot, and he had made himself a nice little home there. It wasn't derelict. It wasn't even at risk yet. But all they could do was write a simple parking ticket or a ticket on it. And if he wasn't there, they couldn't even do that. And so in this, is there a mechanism, or can there be a mechanism to where, no matter what our facility is around in Duval County, if it's at a boat ramp or it's at a downtown dock, if there's a guy that decided he's going to spend the rest of his life at the docks at Riverfront Plaza when they're replaced or open again, and he's willing to take the tickets, is there going to be a mechanism to where law enforcement can tow it or remove it just like they do an abandoned vehicle? Is that in this, incorporated into this?
That's a great question.
Through the chair, at present, I don't believe that that was specifically contemplated, but I don't think that that would be a heavy lift. I do caution that our code should not get case-specific. However, if this is a circumstance that is happening and likely to continue happening, I do think that our rewrite of Chapter 388 should give guidance, and not only to the enforcement aspect of it, but give guidance to, frankly, constitutional notice to whomever would choose to overstay their welcome at a public boat ramp, what exactly is prohibited, how long they're allowed to be there. It may, and I'm talking way out of my wheelhouse, pun intended, is it may need that, to have some updated signage, things like that. But I'm happy to look into that, which, thank you for reminding me, one thing I did not speak of is during my writing, one of the things I do from prior experience, I would consider this a major rewrite. Whenever I start a major rewrite, before I even would publish it within this group, I would go seek the counsel of the persons or agencies, such as in this JSO, about how to do it right.
Right. Through the chair, to give you a little history, we've had meetings for on this, and that's why this is such a good step, is that we've had meetings on this ever since I was running the Marine unit back 18 years ago, 19 years ago, and we've always not quite been able to get to the point to where if we have a we have signage and we have rules and we have, you know, we have 10-minute loading and unloading areas. We've got 30-minute loading and unloading areas. We got 72-hour docking rules at our facilities, and so they're well posted. But then once something happens, and I can give you a million examples, but I'm gonna give you two. One is Friendship Park, or Exchange Island. Exchange Island, we had a sailboat decided to just keep the boat there. We had a derelict or one that broke loose that the JSO put it there, and then they couldn't do anything with it once they put it there until it became a derelict, and then it sunk. And then we had another situation. I told you about the Arlington, and then we have these other situations like Simple. A guy decides that he wants to be down on the South Bank or on the North Bank, and he's got a 72-hour rule, and JSO will write him a citation for overextending and violation of that ordinance, but then he just stays. We have no mechanism for them to do anything beyond that. In other words, a in the ordinance that says that after one citation or after so many 72 more hours or whatever, that the vessel will be towed at the owner's expense at whatever contract that, and that's the other phase of this, councilman, that we're talking about. We need a contract that has a towing company and a storage company that
I was about to get to that.
But that's farther into the weeds than I know this is, but that's operational. This is law. But that law needs to make sure that it's explicit and it gives JSO, FWC, code compliance, whoever the case may be in the situation, that they have something to back them up on what they can do when people don't do what they're supposed to do. That's all. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
All right, so all right, walk me through it. So let's say somebody does keep their vessel at the new Riverfront Plaza, and now it's 24 hours. So it's one citation?
That was not within what I specifically researched, but I'm happy to do that. And I do think that it should be part of, frankly, it might be an additional part. You would have a Chapter 388, maybe with six parts, that discusses docking, the current docking locations, the rules on docking, and the penalties for doing activities that are prohibited. And I'm just making this up, like a nautical trespass theory. Okay. Yeah. But I would want to, I do think it would be an intelligent aspect to put in boats and waterways, because it is a aspect of the boats and waterways. How to do that, I need to look into both the constitutional notice provisions as well as how to maybe take existing trespass and tweak it for the purpose of water.
Being a lawyer sounds awful. Just so much research. You have to. It's so much easier just to be a politician, where I could say, "Hey, General Counsel's Office, can you do all this work?" And you know, truly, like I'm so grateful that you've taken this on. This is a behemoth amount of labor that I'm sure you know. No one's going to be, you know, playing trumpets for making sure we have a derelict vessel bill. But I mean, this is huge, and especially as we do start activating more and more spaces on the river. This is going to be critical for us to have and prepare ourselves for, so I'm really glad we're doing it. Captain Super, did you have something you want to say?
In 6-5, through the chair, 6-15, it also talked about our contracted companies that dock, yes, like Water Taxi and stuff like that. We just need to make sure that don't get fallen by the wayside, because that's an important factor, too, because we do have that situation where somebody will dock right in the space that they're coming in.
Okay.
That means that there may be 100 people that's going to be inconvenienced because their area has been taken over by a guy that didn't care what the sign said. And so we just need to make sure that don't get lost in this new ordinance, because that's part of 615 also.
Is there no penalty for that now?
Yeah.
There is.
It's in 615.
All right. Okay. All right. So let's get to the contract real quick, if you don't mind. We said that we have some money that we're able to kind of shift over. I think it was $250,000. I'm trying to remember. That sound right? All right. that we might be able to shift over to get a contract. Have we kind of sniffed around and see what the cost might be?
I think it's going to be on a per vessel kind of thing. I know OUS and all those have kind of a certain rate.
Okay.
It might not be a bad idea to just call OUS and get a contract with them.
That's the group in Arlington?
Actually, it's what I think it's what we'll have to do is get Towboat US and CETO on board to see if we could give them both the contract, and depending on what's available and where they are and stuff like that, as to which one gets the call or go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, either way you do it. As far as the towing of the location and as far as the locations go, we still have to figure out what we're actually asking for them to tell us what cost is going to be and how they can mitigate their responsibility on it not costing them, well, not only not costing them, but them making a profit for their work like all good businesses will want to do. So those numbers are so in flux right now, because that'll depend on the size of the boat, the condition of the boat. There's a lot of factors that come into play on that. So we're going to have to reinvent the wheel, if you will, on that, because we've never done it. You know, if they say, well, we don't care what kind of vehicle it is or vessel it is, we'll do it for $2 a foot, then that's what it is. I mean, and then we get bids, and anybody that's willing to do that, you know, I think the same thing should apply. If we do that we try to get a east side, west side, north side, south side, two different areas of the city, because towing a vessel is going to be, that's going to be a cost to how many miles they got to tow it to. So if we have two different places where, if it's over in Ortega, we find a place in, theoretically, Ortega. If it's down in Julenton Creek, Ortega would be the closest, and then if it's up in Mayport, you know, Arlington may be the closest, whatever that may apply.
This sounds to me like a great Captain Super thing to track down. Are you able to kind of come back to us and tell us what the rates are looking like and find out who we should be contracting with?
Sure, I'll do some more research on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's start figuring out when this thing becomes active who we're going to bring on. Did you want to jump in there, Ms. McGillis?
Yeah, we'd have to do
that's for all of
okay.
Two, so, yeah.
Okay.
That is a consideration, and it is in the Florida statute's guidance for the anchorage limitation areas, Florida statutes 327.41086E, that spells out the minimum requirements for a contractor performing removal or impoundment services. That is something intended to incorporate. Understanding that I am just a tool, little t tool in this mechanism, and I will do what is the guidance of this body. One thing from my prior life experience is considering the probable requirements for bids, proposals, things like that. Maybe following the way that the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office does their towing, their vehicle towing, mm-hmm. because that's an I look towards something that is established, that's been poked at, that's been defended as a very safe place to land. So I would be, with the chair's approval, I would be kind of laying the groundwork, the basic writing of that within the first draft of this 388, following the JSO model.
Through the chair, absolutely, because that's the direction that I was originally going when we started this. And that way, because the other thing that is still open-ended on what we have now is that, okay, let's say that they've gone through their 10, 45 days or whatever the number ends up being, and it gets to where we absolutely are going to tow this vessel and store it. Once we tow it and store it, I think the rule says now that after 72 hours or after something, but it doesn't say what happens. It says, do we have to take it back out and put it back in the river? Or can we take it to the dump? Or can we put it out for bid? And like tow companies do, is put it on a bid list. How, you know, what procedure at all the way through fruition is what I'm saying, is that, you know, where we close the deal and put it in the file that this happened one day back in 2025.
Through the chair, one of the mind-numbing aspects of this endeavor has been that there are different rules for each of the, I'm just calling it the quadrants, because when we talk about floating structures, anchoring limitation areas, abandoned vessels, and derelict vessels, which includes at risk, the rules are all different. And I'm okay with that, but it's not clearly spelled out. And so each of these separate parts, which is now probably going to be about seven parts, but that's okay, is that you as a citizen or an enforcement agent would be able to say, I think this is an abandoned vessel. It's part four. Here's my definitions. Here's my notice requirements. Here's my procedures. Here's what happens. When can I pull it out of the water? What happens? How long do I have to babysit it out of the water? What are the notice provisions once I have it out of the water? And now can I make it a coral reef? Those would all be questions answered individually per quadrant. That's my goal.
Gotcha.
So we would have different rules for towing for each incidence, or would it be possible where once you're in violation and you're subject to removal, you know, see part four under all of these? In other words, the take it and store it is the same for any violation. Once you reach the threshold where it's going to get pulled.
The goal would be to make it uniform. I like uniform,
yeah.
But we will be limited by the Florida statutes. And at present, there are some differences.
Through the chair, can I please qualify one more thing? That the derelict vessel rule law is not bendable. This FWC has fine-tuned that, and that's there. You have to go by that procedure. But it drops off in two factors. One is that when there's a derelict vessel that is going through what has become, in theory, there's supposed to be a 21-day process. It's actually a four-month process at best. And that vessel is continuing to deteriorate. At one time, FWC said, if you take it out of the water, then tag is yours because it's no longer derelict because it's not in the water. And that, we're not talking about floating structures. That's only derelict vessels only with that. Derelict or floating structures they've said that's the county's problem, and that's why that ordinance was developed for code compliance to handle. So, but they're open-ended on knowing that that is a fallacy because it's costing them a lot more money to remove vessels. So it's under discussion, and in June I'm going to Boating Advisory Council meeting on, and this subject is going to be discussed. And so, but the derelict vessel thing is something that we can't, up to that point, we really can't change or amend or change in any way. It is what it is. Not saying that they can't change it under state law.
Through the chair, two answers. Florida statutes are what the Florida statutes are, and our ability to change that is limited, but not impossible. As to the policy, the procedures, the regulations that have been thus far put forward by FWC, although we can't change it, of course, this meeting in June would be a first step towards maybe updating it.
Yes.
He could. We definitely want FWC to agree.
Yeah, but it's not sure. Lyman is going to be.
I know, but I feel like.
Excellent position, and he's willing to go back and to the state if we give him specific stuff.
That's the thing. I feel like we're giving him a lot of stuff.
Through the chair.
Sessions, and then he's going to.
He's done.
Yeah. I'll let y'all worry about that.
It being April, and this is not something I had mentioned. But I believe that I can have a solid working draft bill within 30 days. But that does, and they would incorporate these ideas, and it would be my intention to also float, pun intended, these ideas to the agencies or entities other than FWC, because I would, I think that would be like a stage two, stage three operation for us. But anyway, my timeline is at this point about 30 days.
30 days sounds aggressive. I'm all about it. Captain Super.
I just wanted to let you know, I think he maybe had a comment he wanted to say about the floating structures and the derelicts.
Well, actually, through the chair, not about floating structures. When you mentioned that once someone removes a vessel, it's theirs, we have the same environmental concerns with people moving containers of hazardous materials and other regulated substances. So with removing a vessel from the water, if it has fuel in it and other environmentally the agent of materials that are environmental concerns, what's going to happen with that? The city would probably have to have some provisions for having those materials removed and properly disposed of as well. And also, you mentioned becoming reef material. Nobody else. Probably just a pun, but we have to be careful because none of these vessels would ever be suitable for being deployed for reef.
Through the chair, can I answer? He's absolutely correct, and that's why we're talking about using a marine facility, just like if you were going to take your 45-foot yacht over to a boatyard to have it pulled out and have a bottom paint job done on it, it's full of fuel, and they manage that type of stuff. And if it becomes to the point where it was going to be destroyed or removed, then they would remove those fluids, and they would take care of the destruction and removal. And it will come to a point where if we don't have a owner to pay for it, that's where the monies are coming in, that we would, as a city, would have to pay for that with a lien, DHSMB lien, put on the vessel for the owner if we did know who the owner was. But you're absolutely right, and he's also right on none of these vessels are ever going to qualify for reef material. So he's correct on that, too.
Through the chair, my reference to reef was actually it's in the Florida statutes that I'm sure somewhere some vessel is okay by that, but it is provided for in the Florida statutes. If it's appropriate, it can actually become it reads authorize the vessel's use as an artificial reef in accordance with 379-249. So I wasn't making it up, but I wholly agree with you that that's probably a unicorn.
We have several of them out there that are reefs, but they have to be steel or concrete, and they have to be stripped of anything that's plastic or fiber or asbestos and et cetera, et cetera. And the cost it takes to make it reef worthy is
astronomical.
Through the chair, don't mistake my references to existing Florida statutes as my advocacy.
I got you.
For any particular absolute catastrophe of nuts and bolts called a boat. The reference did come from the Florida statutes. It would be up to whatever agency is tasked with what now to do with this in italics vessel. But it is in the Florida statutes that becoming a reef is a thing. My personal point of view is probably, again, that would be a unicorn.
Mr. Barker?
It's actually keeping them from being a reef that's really the thing that would be us
and beyond our writing.
Well, the point, though, environmentally is if we've got CETO who are trained and insured and we've got a marina who's trained and insured, that takes some of the onus off of the city, because if the city LEOs have to pull these things, then there is an exposure period where they've got control of the vessel that has not been defueled. In this case, I think this looks pretty good for the city. If we go ahead and contract out, then these companies will have included that in their costs. They're insured. We're good.
Through the chair, one of the pillars of legislation that we should keep in mind is the fine line between constitutional notice and giving the agencies the guidance and then writing their procedures for them. And so what I would think is our stage two level look at our bill would be making sure that we don't overstep into what should be individual agencies and entities' policies and procedures, which, you know, obviously would include the regulatory aspects from FWC. We can give certainly strong guidance, but Chapter 388 should probably maintain within constitutional notice policies and procedures, giving and by notice I mean constitutional notice of what is prohibited, mm-hmm. And then guidance on the Fourth Amendment parameters, and then we can give guidance to the enforcement agencies as to their potential policies and procedures.
So real quick, have we run this by Gabby yet? With okay, we have. All right, just want to make sure. I couldn't remember if she was at the. We had like a million damn lawyers in the room last time. I just wanted to make sure.
I don't think it would be fair to catalog everyone I've gone through, but Gabby would Miss Young being the advisor of OGC assigned to the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is and will be integral.
Good.
To my draft.
Yeah, we need to make sure JSO is very aware of what we're doing, because they'll be the ones that get the calls. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm looking at May 13th at 10 a.m. It's a Monday for our potential next meeting, if that works for everyone. You're the most important person here, frankly. It is after your birthday? Mm-hmm. When's your birthday? 12?
May 8th.
Okay, all right, good.
I'm sure it's fine.
And to both Shannon and Captain Super, you need me, you got my number.
We're not
kind of the idea guy, and you guys are really the experts at this, but if there's anything I can do to help, I mean,
none sense. Of you are bound by sunshine, so that's able to do.
Just let me know.
Actually, wait. You're a non-voting member of
a staff person.
There you go. All right, perfect.
Told
hey.
All of you.
Right. Yeah, good. So all of you can be good.
Good.
Just put it out there. All right, sounds like we've got our marching orders. Incredible work. I'm so grateful that you're with us. And you, like, just started with Waterways, and we gave you, like, the worst tasks immediately. So I...
I'm so sorry that we did that to you. After this, you can solve the whole spoilage issue and figure out how to get the Army Corps to do their job. We'll hand you that one next.
I am just the tool, little t. But yeah, this has been a guidance from Suber and Barker and Ms. Young and yourself. So absolutely, I'm a scribe.
You're far more than that, and I think you know that. All right, we will see everyone on May 13th. We do have our next Waterways Commission meeting on April 11th. So we'll see you there, same bat time, same bat channel.
We don't have time yet on the May 13th, right?
We could move it. I've got the room reservation in.
Why, May 13th doesn't work?
You say 15th or 13th?
13, 1-3.
Yeah, it worked great for me. I got all day. I was just wondering, do we have time yet?
Oh, okay. 10 a.m.
10.
Yeah, 10 a.m. I'm sorry.
Oh, perfect. No, that's perfect.
All right, this meeting's adjourned. I'm hoping to get Waterways done in 30 minutes so I can run to an event. Boat USA. Let's figure out what the cost is for them and.
Yeah, cold.
We'll drop an RFP, or we could potentially do a sole source. I know some people have heartburn on that, but if we, I don't know how many towing companies there are. What's up? Yeah, I mean, like, I just don't know.
And exclusively.
Thank you.
And it's one of those things where.
Thank you, sir.
No, we got to get on this.
I'm all about that.
I try.